Today's episode of the Jamie Grace Podcast is dedicated to anybody that's ever gone through a breakup that wasn't really a breakup because it wasn't really a relationship, but either you or the other person, or maybe both of you guys, or maybe even your parents, thought that it was something, even though it wasn't something, and now you're trying to figure out how in the world do I pick up the pieces after a breakup that never was. I know that it stinks that this happens, but hey, if a bunch of us hadn't been through it, then we wouldn't be able to have conversations like this one. So thanks for listening, friends. I hope today's episode is encouraging. Good morning, good night, and welcome to the Jamie Grace Podcast. Hi, I'm Jamie Grace. This show is all about bridging the gap between pop culture and mental health, having conversations about how things in everyday culture have an impact on our emotional health and our mental wellness, and I'm excited to dig into today's topic with you guys today. So I've been married for a couple of years now, actually 4 years coming up, and I really like being married. It's super cool. I am a Christian, my husband's a Christian, and we didn't know each other before, like for a long time before we were married. But when I was single, I was definitely like very much involved in like Christian dating culture. And I even saying that is super broad, right? Because you have Christian dating culture in the Southeast, and then you have Christian dating culture that is, you know, affiliated with like college, or like Christian college dating culture is totally different from like Christian dating culture of like 40 somethings in church in the Midwest. Like there's so many different, you know, niches and different ways that this could play out. But very specifically, I was, you know, a young adult dating as a Christian, kind of before the TikTok era, but very much in the high prime of Instagram era. And in this era and concept where, unfortunately, I don't think this is gone yet, but where a lot of times, like Christian people that are single can just get really, really close. And not even Christian people, I'm just specifically speaking from experience here, but where people can get really close, and we can kind of, because, you know, a lot of times like the goal is like marriage and marriage minded and intentional, like these words are thrown around and these words are used, oftentimes well intended, it kind of gets in this awkward situation where like you find yourself at coffee with a friend of the opposite sex, and all of a sudden all you can think about is like what your babies would look like. And, you know, they mentioned something about like, oh, I, you know, used to spend summers in Oklahoma, and then you find yourself on Zillow till like 4 o'clock in the morning looking at, you know, $900,000 houses in Oklahoma trying to figure out how to make their dreams come true. And if that's not you, then fine, go away. But for a lot of people, this is the reality. And this was my reality sometimes, of just getting overwhelmed by those things. And so I wanted to make a very specific episode today for the people that are going through a breakup that never was. When you are finding yourself distancing from someone that you thought you were in a dating relationship with, or you were in like a semi-dating relationship, which is not a dating relationship, but now you're finding yourself having to distance yourself from them, and you don't really know what's going on. And so I want to take you guys through the five stages of grief, which are, you know, the five stages that you hear a lot of times talked about in conversations around mental health, psychology. I'll definitely leave some links in the show notes, the description of this, but we're going to talk through them through the lens of this supposed breakup, right? And so this is called, like, the stages of grief are denial, then anger, depression, bargaining, and acceptance. And so we're going to go through those, right? The first one is denial. I would dare say that you start to grieve this before it actually happens. Like the moment when you realize that you guys are not together, okay? It's this moment where, like, you know, you've been going out to coffee a couple times, you've been hanging out together. Maybe the word date has been used, but the phrase dating has never been used. A lot of times it's these stories that we start to tell ourselves while this one-on-one friendship is happening, that it's something more than it is. The denial starts a lot sooner than I think a lot of times we want to admit. A lot of times it's like, oh, you know, he said to me like, oh, he's gonna date the girl from college, or oh, they're gonna pursue someone else, or they're not really looking for a relationship, and like I spent all this time with this person. It's like, yeah, so what you've got to start to acknowledge is like, when you're spending this one-on-one time with someone, when you are like giving me visual that you're dating someone, then you just might be in denial that something is happening that's not happening. If someone has not said that they're dating you, then they're not dating you. If someone does not want to call you their boyfriend or girlfriend or significant other, then that's not what they want to be. If someone has said they're not ready to date, but they're spending a ton of time with you, they're not changing their mind. They're just getting what they want out of you, because humans can do awful things when we're in awful places. And that's not to justify or excuse them, and that's not to blame or shame you, but that's simply to say that a lot of times with grief, we think that, you know, this big moment of clarity, like, oh, I saw him post another girl on his Instagram story, it must really be over now. It was over when he wasn't like texting you back, right? And I say that as like a big sister way of just like a little bit of tough love, like, hey, let's not be in denial when we're in these seasons of trying to make something happen that's not happening. Again, this is not the same thing for every single person, but it's just to kind of be mindful of those signs and, you know, be trustworthy of the people that are in your life that are saying like, hey, I'm not sure if this person really has your best interest, and that kind of thing. Again, with that, like I said, sometimes humans do awful things when they're in awful places, and sometimes you just get duped, right? Especially when we're speaking specifically to Christian culture, sometimes people can use Christianity and faith and words like intention and marriage and wife and husband. They can use these words as like manipulative tools to string people along that they know that they are not intending on pursuing. That's garbage, and that's not your fault, and that stinks. And so sometimes we can go through those stages, that stage of like denial of like, oh my gosh, like how did I let myself do this? Like I can't believe I was so dumb. I can't believe yada, yada, yada. Nah, bruh. Like I said, you got to trust the people in your circle. I'm always encouraging you guys to get a village, a therapist, a counselor, a Christian counselor, an actual therapist, you know, your parents, if they're wise, good humans. Trust the local people in your life that are seeing this thing day to day, because there's one thing to be in denial while something is happening, but it's another thing for you to have genuinely gotten like duped. And so I'm not trying to claim to know which one that was, or if it's a Venn diagram of the two, because obviously I'm not there in the day to day, but that's denial, right? It can kind of come in two different forms depending on how the exact situation played out. So the second stage of grief, that's going to be anger, and that's completely justified. You know, I know a lot of times, like, you know, we struggle, especially as Christians, with like the word anger, because it's like, oh no, like I'm not supposed to be angry. Like the Bible says, like, you know, being angry is wrong. And even just in general, like outside of the Christian faith, like we can sometimes just feel guilty and feel shame for our feelings, right? But for speaking within the Christian faith, like Ephesians 4:26, it says, in your anger, do not sin, right? And so it's justifying and accepting the fact that anger is a part of the process. It's simply that we're not supposed to be out here, like, you know, giving people wedgies unnecessarily just because we're angry. It's like, let's learn how to use our anger as a tool to understand how we're feeling, what's going on internally, and kind of like what the next step should be. For me, when I feel angry, the outdoors are so helpful for me. I've shared this before on the podcast, but I used to think that I didn't like the outdoors just because I don't like outdoor activities. Like, I'd be like, oh, I hate being outside because all my friends ever want to do is like hike and fish. And, you know, I'm from the South. So like people want to go hunting. Like I don't want to do all that. But when I realized like sitting in the shade in my hammock with like a fan blowing on me and like eating some fruit and listening to a podcast, and not even always the podcast, sometimes just listening to the outdoors, being outside is so wonderful for me. So when I feel anger like that, or even anxiety, like many different feelings for me, the outdoors are... I can't think of the right word. They're very healing for me, right? And so that's another stage that you might feel, right? This anger, even angry at God, right? Even angry at yourself for like not seeing the signs before. You start to feel humiliated and ashamed. And the next stage of grief is depression, right? You start like those feelings of shame and guilt, they kind of cause us to want to go internally, because a lot of times anger causes us to want to like express externally, right? It's like you want to just like hurt people and fight people and tear them down and just get that rage out. And then, you know, that depression kind of causes you to like turn internally. And we're not talking about the clinical diagnosis of depression. This is more of an expression of that internal shutdown, this loss of excitement and engagement in regular activities and wanting to spend time with your friends and eat your favorite meals. Like, it's this internal shutdown that begins to happen as you just slowly realize, you know, a lot of the pain that you're facing. And that can just be a really, really difficult place to be. It can also kind of really want you to just like not ever want to date again and not want to trust again. You know, a lot of people deal with this too. Like if they've had something like this happen multiple times with like Christian guys, like, oh, I want to date Christian guys again, you know, again, withdrawing internally, detaching from something that otherwise would have seemed appealing. Or even like you might be like, oh, I don't want to date black guys again because this happened with multiple black dudes, or I don't want to date white guys again, or I don't want to date guys within my culture, I don't want to date anybody locally. You're like, I need to try somebody long distance, I need to try online dating, like all these different things. You just kind of start detaching from anything that feels familiar or routine, right? And so that can kind of happen internally, and that's the third stage of grief, which is depression. Hey friends, so as many of you all know, I have anxiety. I have a diagnosis, generalized anxiety disorder, and I'm also a millennial surviving a pandemic, and I deal with everyday stress. People often ask me how I manage my anxiety on a daily basis, and one of the most beneficial things for me has been counseling, which is why I wanted to take a quick break to tell you about one of the sponsors of the Jamie Grace podcast, Faithful Counseling. Faithful Counseling provides four different ways you can talk to your therapist: video chats, messaging, live messaging, and phone calls. So if you're struggling with anxiety, loneliness, frustration, or if you're trying to make a big life decision about school, work, friendships, relationships, you should definitely give Faithful Counseling a try. If you go to faithfulcounseling.com/Jamie Grace, you'll get 10% off of your first month. That link is also in the show notes, but again, it's faithfulcounseling.com/Jamie Grace. And now, back to the show. So if any of you guys are familiar with this, then you might have noticed that I didn't go straight to bargaining from anger, and I went straight to depression. So not everybody is going to experience all five stages of grief, and you may not experience them exactly like in this order. You might kind of experience like the first one, then the third one, then the second. It might kind of, you know, be different. And so the next one would be bargaining, and sometimes bargaining comes before depression. I haven't personally experienced this one a lot, but this is just kind of, I mean, bargaining can come in many different forms. It can be in trying to like get that person back. Like, well, what if I just, you know, was able to be okay with what they wanted, as far as like, what if I just wanted an open relationship? Like, what if I didn't try to, you know, push for monogamy? Or like, what if I didn't try to put a label on it? What if we could make this work? Some people, you know, from a spiritual standpoint, that might be like trying to bargain with God. Like, oh, what if I just prayed enough? Or what if I just did this? And so that it's a little bit tricky for me to personally dig into. And if you've listened to the show before, then you know that I really do prefer to share, you know, like experiences on the show, especially when talking about stuff like this from personal experiences. But it just like kind of makes me think of just kind of that very regular like movie cliche, like the wish is oftentimes rooted in like a bargain, right? Like if you think of like almost any childhood movie that, you know, us 90s kids grew up with, especially like Disney movies, like it's like they get so angry at their little brother, or they get so angry that their, you know, their parent has, you know, moved out, or which, you know, is obviously justified to be angry about, but they get so angry about whatever it is that's going on in like the first 5 to 10 minutes of the movie, and it's like, oh, I cannot believe all this is happening to me. Like, oh, this anger. If this could happen, then I promise I would be the best brother ever. And then they like wake up and all of a sudden like their brother's gone, or like their mom's a Barbie, you know, whatever it is. Like, we see that a lot of times happening in a lot of movies because it's a very real thing that people experience. Another real thing that people experience is getting ready for bedtime, and I don't know if you guys can hear it, but I can hear the conversation of bedtime happening in my home right now. Isabella has her first. I have a 2-year-old. Her name's Isabella, and she has her first soccer game tomorrow. And I think that there might be some sort of like pregame shouting, like appropriate shouting, like hype, excitement shouting ritual happening right now. I'm not sure. There's a lot of noise happening in the house. Not sure all what's going on. It also could be the conversation of like, are we going to listen to Elmo while we brush our teeth? What is happening? Anyway, so moving on. Oh my gosh. My family is crazy. It sounds like we have 12 kids. The next one and the final stage of grief would be acceptance, right? This is when, I mean, acceptance is something that for the most part, we all can kind of generally understand what's happening. I feel like I'm in the stage of acceptance of what the background audio of my podcast is just going to sound like. And even if you guys can't hear it, I'm going to hear my kid and my husband running through the house every time I record an episode. It's when you just accept like, okay, this relationship was not a thing, right? Like this, I'm not going to end up with this person. I am not going to be in a relationship with him. That was not a relationship. And it was probably for the better. You know, I remember a few weeks ago, I was with 2 girls and, one is married and one had just gone through a breakup and it was quite recent, the breakup. And so the 3 of us were just sitting there talking and they had already broken up before and then they had gotten back together. And this was like, you know, the breakup where it was kind of just like us, hopefully as big sisters, just kind of being able to like tell her like, hey sis, like, it's time we really accept this, right? Not at all trying to speed along your grieving, because obviously this just happened. But if we can just be a sounding board and just kind of a helpful space for you to grieve this in real time, like we just want you to understand that like it is over, right? A lot of times some people might be like, oh, that's like really harsh. And if that's not something that you would have been able to hear, that's fine. But a couple of days later, I was hanging out with her and she was just, and she was also just in such a great, mature, healthy space, even through her pain, because that's just, she's a very just mature young lady. But yeah, even a couple of days later, she was just like, yeah, like this is for the best, you know? And kind of even thinking about some of the stuff that, like she had been going through in the recent past and, you know, just even me affirming her and being like, look, like, don't even allow like those thoughts of guilt and shame to continue to come up like, oh, I should have known or blah, blah, blah. Like you can't do anything about yesterday, right? You can only choose how you move forward and you can only choose how you say, hey, this is the present. This is where I am. I'm single. That is okay. You know, it doesn't make me broken. It doesn't make me, you know, a grievance, you know, like I'm a single human and that is okay. And the relationship that I, the situationship that seemed as though it was a relationship is not one, right? Or was not one. And that is okay. You know, I've shared this on the podcast before, but I've shared a story about, you know, when I was single, a guy that I was hanging out with quite a bit. And like eventually it just kind of got to a point where I was just like, I'm not going to be, you know, hanging out with you a bunch of one-on-one if I don't really have a lot of clarity or like understanding of like what this is, right? And then it just got to the point where he was just kind of like, yeah, I see you as like my sister in Christ. And I just remember like almost throwing up in his face of just being like, why would you use such a beautiful phrase that defines what godly community is, like what a godly friendship can be, like to use a phrase like my sister in Christ to literally slap me in the face right now? And I didn't have the language for that then. I mean, this was 7 or 8 years ago, but I wish that I did because that's how I felt. And I felt as though, you know, his faith was used as a tool of manipulation to be like, oh, well, I just want to like hang out with you one-on-one because you're my sister in Christ. It's like, no, you don't spend this kind of time with your brother or your sister. Like that's not a term or a phrase to be used lightly. That's a really beautiful and delicate thing, right? And I just remember dealing with that of like having introduced this, you know, person, this guy to my close friends and even some of my family members and really thinking that it could have been something and then just for whatever personal things he was going through, like I said, whatever awful stuff he was going through, him not going to therapy and not dealing with it and not working through it, he ended up doing something awful to me, which was just kind of waste my time, right? And so we can look back on that and we can be like, man, like, were there red flags? Like, were there things that I should have caught up on? You know, was I in denial the whole time? Or we can look back on that and be like, oh man, like, was I duped? Like, was he a terrible person? Or we can be like, is it a Venn diagram of both? Like, what does this mean? What does it mean? You know, there's so many different ways that we could spin this and try to figure it out. But the beauty that I came to was acceptance through all the grieving, these, you know, different stages of grief. I went through different stages of them at different times, and it was, you know, some ups and downs through all of that emotionally. But I went through all of that and I got to a place of acceptance of like, you know what? He was not my person, right? He was not the person I was supposed to spend every day with for a few months or a few years or a few forevers, you know? He wasn't my person, and that's okay. I'm going to step away from that. I'm going to move on. I'm going to use the tools that I've learned to better myself and to move toward my own future and to move toward something that I know will be much more beautiful than anything that I could try to conjure up in my head if that had worked out. And so I hope that that's helpful for you guys. I hope that that's encouraging for you guys. I know that dealing with these not so breakups are just weird. They're weird. But I hope that you will just value yourself and value your time, right? Like, your time is so valuable. If you're trying to figure out if something's a date, ask. Be like, is this a date? Is this a date? And if they're like, no, you're like my sister in Christ. Oh, bye. If you were my brother, then we'd be hanging out with my family on a Tuesday and there'd be 15 other people there. So bye. You don't get my Saturday night time. Goodbye. See you later. I don't do fake boyfriends. Like, hard pass, right? I don't know where I'm going with this. I could rant on how to fuss at people for days and years and years and years to come. Hey, a couple things. If you enjoy this like vibey lo-fi music in the background, first of all, thank you. It's all produced by me. A lot of you guys might know my music from me like singing songs and playing guitar and stuff. I still do that. It's all on Spotify, Apple Music, but all my lo-fi stuff, you can just stream it on YouTube while you're doing your homework or listen, or, you know, sitting in the hammock on the porch in the shade, whatever it might be. So hopefully you guys enjoy the lo-fi jams. I really enjoy making them. I've got to definitely get some new ones out for the spring, but these are also still pretty recent. So thanks for listening to them. There will be links in the show notes for the rest of them. Also, there will be a link in the show notes. I'll be talking about this more for weeks to come, but there will be a link for Intro, which is a community for singles that my husband and I have started. It's a matchmaking service, but we match you in both small groups and also on dates as well. And we do have a code of conduct that is very anti-fake dating, so because I ain't got time to play none of that here. But yeah, that is the phone call that it is. You know, not so much like my turn in like a, like husband wife, like, you know, he takes care of the baby, then I take care of the baby, but in the general sense, right? It takes a village, and it's my turn to help her go to sleep. So thank you guys so much for listening. Have a lovely night. Don't be not nice. You know what I mean? Did you guys just hear Bella? Don't be not nice. Check out the show notes to figure out how you can connect with me on social media, how you can support the show, and all those things. Hi, Bella. How's it going, dude? Here's your water. Where's my water? Oh, you brought me my water?
Yeah.
Thank you so much. That was so sweet of you. All right, guys. Have a great Saturday. I'll see you on social media. Okay, bye.
Hi, I'm Bella. Thank you so much, Denise. My Becca. Bye, you. And bye-bye. Bye-bye to show. I'm patient. I'm changing my music. It's a lesson. Okay, bye.